Canto 1, Chapter 5. Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. Sutta said, "Then, comfortably seated next to him, the Rishi of God of great renown, who has a Vina in his hands, with a faint smile, addressed the learned wise. He said, 'O greatly fortunate son of Parashara, is it so that you find the satisfaction of your soul by identifying yourself with your body and mind? You have done your full inquiries, and being well versed, you have prepared the great and wonderful Mahabharata, to which you have added your extensive explanations. Despite your investigations and the knowledge you acquired about the absolute and eternal, you, dear Master, lament not having done enough for the purpose of the soul. Vyasa said, "All you have said is certainly true. My heart is still not satisfied with it. What is the root I have missed? I ask you, who originated from the self-born one Brahma, as a man of unlimited knowledge. As a devotee of the oldest person, the lord of the material and spiritual world, who from his mind only, elevated above the qualities of material nature, creates and destroys the universe, you have all-inclusive, confidential knowledge. Just as the sun, you travel the three worlds, and thereby penetrate everyone's heart as the self-realized witness, like being the all-pervading eater. Can you please search out what the deficiency is in my, with discipline and vow, being absorbed in the absolute concerning matters of cause and effect, spirit and matter?" Sri Narada said, "You heartily praised the glories of the fortunate one, who is spotless and who, I gather, is not really pleased by that lesser vision. Although you, great sage, repeatedly have written for the sake of the four virtues of religion, you have not been doing so for the sake of Vasudeva. Hardly using the flowery language that describes the glories of the Lord who sanctifies the universe is something the saintly souls think of as an engagement for crows, not as something desirable appreciated by swans, those perfect in transcendence. That creation of words, revolutionizing the sins of the people, in which, although imperfectly composed, each verse depicts the names and glories of the unlimited Lord, is heard, sung, and accepted by those who are purified and honest. Despite self-realization, free from material motives, transcendental knowledge of sufficient purity does not look good without any love for the infallible one. What good will it bring to work time and again, troublesome, for a result, when one fails to serve the Lord with it? That is inauspicious and leads nowhere. You, therefore, as a highly fortunate, spotless and famous, perfect seer dedicated to the truth and fixed in vows, should, from your transcendental position, for the sake of liberation from universal bondage, think about and describe him whose actions are supernatural. Whatever perspective one describes separate from him misses its purpose and will only lead to names and forms that agitate the mind like a boat that is taken by the wind from its place. Instructions for the sake of religion are disliked. They are most unreasonable in relation to the natural inclinations. By what you instructed about the Dharma, one became fixed on other matters, not giving thought to that what you like to prevent. They who, having retired from material happiness, behave wisely with him, deserve, though, to understand the unlimited, transcendental, all-powerful Lord. Therefore, please, your goodness, show to those who, being caught in the clutches of the natural qualities, are estranged from the true self, the activities of the Almighty One. Someone who has forsaken his occupational duties in order to serve the Lord's lotus feet may fall down in that position because of a lack of experience. But what inauspiciousness would happen to someone who, as a non-devotee, is engaged in his occupational service and obtains nothing of his real interest? The philosophically inclined should, for that reason, endeavor only for this spiritual fulfillment that is not so much found by searching from high to low, because material fulfillment, counted by miseries, is in the course of the time that operates so subtly, found anyhow as a result of one's actions. Sooner or later, inevitably failing some way, the devotee has a different experience than others. Once he in his material life acquired the taste, he, remembering the feet of the Lord of Liberation that he embraced, will never want to give it up. From the goodness of yourself, you know that all of this cosmos is the Lord himself, even though he differs from it. He constitutes the beginning, the existence, and the end of creation. I am only summarizing it for you. Please give a true-to-life description of the pastimes of him who is the greatest mercy. From the perfect vision of your own soul, you are capable of searching out the transcendent personality of the Supersoul from whom you are a plenary portion, and for whom you, of an unborn nature, have taken birth for the sake of the well-being of the entire world. The acknowledged scholars all agree that the unmistakable purpose of everyone's austerities, study, sacrifice, spiritual education, advancement of intelligence and charity is found in following the descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord praised in the verses. O sage, in the previous millennium I took birth from a maidservant of certain adherents of the Veda. I, only a boy, was engaged in the service of these yoga practitioners when I lived together with them during the months of the rainy season. Despite their impartiality towards believers, these followers of wisdom were merciful unto me, an obedient, well-mannered, self-controlled and silent boy without much interest in games and sport. When the twice-born souls once allowed me to enjoy the remnants of their food, I thereby was liberated from all my sins, and manifested itself in my purified consciousness the attraction to that Dharma. Thereafter, I heard every day the life of Krishna being described. Because of their support and respect for me, dear Vyasa, I managed to pay close attention and step by step develop my taste. O great sage, as I acquired the taste, my mind found continuity with the Lord and acquired the insight that the complete of the gross and subtle bewilderment that is mine finds its order, its regulation, in the transcendentality of the Absolute. Thus, for the time of two seasons, autumn and the rainy season, constantly hearing nothing but the glories that were chanted by the sages, my devotional service sprouted because of those great souls, while the influence of the qualities of passion and ignorance receded. As an obedient boy, free from sins, I, because of those believers being attached to him, strictly following, thus managed to subjugate my senses. When these devotees, so full of care for the distressed souls, left, they were as merciful to instruct me in this most confidential knowledge directly propounded by the Lord himself. Thus I could easily grasp what the influence is of the deluding material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, the Supreme Creator, and how one can reach his refuge. O learned one, it is said that to dedicate one's actions to the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, is the remedy for the threefold misery, the kleshas of life. O good soul, is it not so that the cure for whatever diseases the living being may have is found in the medical treatment of that what caused the disease? The same way, all actions of man that are directed at a materialistic existence will put an end to those same actions when one manages to dedicate them to the transcendence. Whatever one does in this world to please the Lord, including the spiritual knowledge associated with it, is considered bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion. When one continuously performs one's duties according to the instructions of the fortunate one, one praises his qualities and constantly remembers the names of Sri Krishna. All glories to you, O Supreme Lord, to you, Vasudeva, upon whom we meditate, and our obeisances unto your plenary portions, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarsana. That person is of a perfect vision who thus, with the sound form of this mantra, worships the Lord without a material form, Vishnu, the original person of sacrifice. O Brahmin, knowing this, I, being engaged in this manner with his words, was endowed with spiritual knowledge, with his opulence, and with an intimate personal love for Keshava. You then also, with your vast Vedic knowledge, describe the Almighty One in whom the sages always found satisfaction with their desire to know. Do this to mitigate the suffering of the masses of common people for whom there is no other relief